This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes, asking you to take just a few moments out of your busy day to study with us this question, a very intriguing question it is to me. Why doesn't everyone love the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ was perfectly lovable. We spent several days in explaining some of the reasons, at least, why men ought to love the Lord. But now we've been studying some of the reasons why many people do not. We have pointed out that some people do not love Him because they're ignorant. They're ignorant of their own need for Him. They're ignorant of His own greatness. They're ignorant of His own love. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and of the judgment to come. We've pointed out that some do not love Him because of lust. Lust, they love the world. They love the flesh. They love the things that pertain to the flesh too much to be able to love the Christ. You cannot have both love of the world and the love of God in your heart. Then we have pointed out that men do not love the Lord because of indifference. Indifference to the emptying of Christ, indifference to His love, indifference to His suffering, indifference to His pleadings. And now we come to a new point in our study. Men do not love Him because of indifference to His warnings. You know, while the Lord was here on earth, He warned men about various things. Among the things that He warned them about is the brevity of life. In Luke chapter 12, He tells the story of a farmer, a man whose fields brought forth such a great harvest that his barns were too small for him to store them in. And so he asked himself the question, "What shall I do? My barns are not big enough for my harvest." And then he thought, "Oh, I know what to do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger, and then I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, take thine ease, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years.'" Now that's what he said to himself. You see, there was no thought of God. There was no thought of giving this, that God's work might be done. There were no thoughts of the widow or the orphan. There were no thoughts of the poor. There were no thoughts of the downtrodden or the sorrowful. There were thoughts only of himself. And so what he said to himself was this: "I'll do this. I'll make preparation for the future by storing up a great deal of wealth. And then I'll say to myself, 'Take your ease. You have much goods laid up for many years.'" But the question is, what did God say to him? The Lord said, "Thou fool, tonight shall thy soul be required of thee." And of course, none of us knows but what today will be our very day that our life shall end. We do know that many people will die today, some by accident, some by natural causes, some because of operations in hospitals and so forth. But many people will die today around the world. "Today, tonight shall thy soul be required of thee." But many people can hear this warning from the Bible, just as we find in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, where it asks the question, "What is your life? It is like a vapor. It's like a puff of smoke that appears for a little time and then it's gone." My friend, none of us has any assurance of tomorrow. And yet we can hear the warnings of Christ. "Consider the brevity of your life and make today right. Put first the kingdom of God," Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 and 33, "and all of these things about which you are so concerned, shall be added unto you." We ought to be concerned about Christ's warnings of the brevity of life. We ought not to be indifferent to them. We ought to stop and think, "My Lord has warned me that my life may end at any time, and therefore I ought to get my life right with God today." But friend, our time is gone for this time. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be with us next time as we continue our study of why men ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Why some do not. Why doesn't everybody love Him? I'm so glad you've been with us. Until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you, is my sincere prayer.